Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Women's soccer kicks off the February 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The fourth edition of the She Believes Cup tournament begins later Wednesday evening near the eastern U.S. city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This competition features the national teams from Brazil, England, Japan, and the United States. The American women, ranked number one in the world, are the defending She Believes Cup champions. All four teams will compete at the 2019 Women's World Cup in France, so this will be a good tune-up for them. In the opening matches on Wednesday evening, England will play Brazil, and that will be followed by the USA against Japan. The four teams will then play another doubleheader on Saturday in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. And then a final round of matches will be played next Tuesday, March 5th, in the southern U.S. city of Tampa, Florida. The winner of the She Believes Cup will be based on total points. A tie-in points will be decided by goal difference. The USA is also the defending champion at the Women's World Cup, which begins on June 7th. Nigeria, Cameroon, and South Africa will represent Africa at the 2019 Women's World Cup. Let's take a quick look at their first-round groupings. The Super Falcons of Nigeria are in Group A with Norway, South Korea, and host France. The Indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon are in Group E with Canada, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. And Banyana Banyana of South Africa is in Group B with Spain, China, and two-time Women's World Cup champion Germany. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more African football news, former Ivory Coast football star Kolo Touré has joined English Premier League club Leicester City as a first-team coach. The 37-year-old Touré joins the new staff of Brendan Rodgers, who was named Leicester's head coach on Tuesday. Kolo Touré made 120 international appearances for the Elephants of Ivory Coast, and Kolo also lifted the Africa Cup of Nations trophy with his Ivorian teammates in Equatorial Guinea in 2015. Now, Kolo Touré's new coaching job with Leicester City also marks a return to the English Premier League. That's right, Kolo played for Arsenal, Manchester City, and Liverpool. Meanwhile, just a few minutes after being hired as Leicester's manager, Brendan Rodgers took a seat in the stands at King Power Stadium to have a first good look at his new team. Rodgers must have been fairly satisfied with what he saw. Leicester ended a winless run, stretching back to January 1st by beating visiting Brighton 2-1 in the English Premier League. With Leicester moving 11 points clear of the bottom three, it's unlikely that Rodgers will be fighting a relegation battle in the season's final 3 months. That victory over Brighton also meant Leicester avoided a fifth consecutive home league loss, which last happened in 1959. In another Premier League match on Tuesday, Icelandic midfielder Gylfi Sigurdsson scored two goals in Everton's 3-0 win at Cardiff. Cardiff has 25 points, only 1 point above the relegation zone, while Everton is in ninth place with 36 points. In two more Premier League results, Newcastle defeated visiting Burnley 2-0. And last place Huddersfield scored only its third victory of the season, beating Wolverhampton Wanderers 1-0, thanks to an injury time goal from Benin striker Steve Mounier. I'm Sonny Young. and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more African football news, one of Tanzania's top referees, Odin Charles Mbaga, has been banned for life by world governing body FIFA for taking bribes. The case was handled by FIFA's ethics committee. FIFA said Mbaga manipulated several national and international matches between 2009 and 2012, but did not give details. Meanwhile, Mbaga told Reuters news agency it's shocking news. He said he knew FIFA was doing an investigation, and he was questioned by FIFA in 2010, but he hadn't heard anything since. Odin Charles Mbaga was also fined $200,000. He has been banned for life from all football-related activities, not just refereeing, at national and international level. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Toronto Raptors trounced the visiting Boston Celtics by 23 points. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto, Canada.
Toronto dismantled Boston 118-95 with the stats of the night that told the story coming in the second quarter. The Raptors went on an 18-0 run and outscored the Celtics 36-13 in the stanza. Raptors power forward Pascal Siakam was the game's highest scorer. He finished with 25 points.
When we get stops, you know, we're very dangerous in transition and just, you know, playing free basketball. And, you know, we also, you know, made an extra pass and just, you know, find an open man.
Kawhi Leonard, after missing Sunday's loss to Orlando, returned to add 21.
We did a good job with, you know, everybody tonight. You know, they missed shots, too. They didn't make too many threes. But, you know, we came out pretty aggressive, and, you know, that led us to early points in transition.
Marcus Morris was Boston's top scorer. He had 17. Toronto's now won 14 of its last 16 games at Scotiabank Arena. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Toronto Raptors now have a record of 45 wins and 17 losses, putting them two games behind the NBA-leading Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics, meanwhile, are currently in fifth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference with a record of 37 victories and 24 defeats. Our Voice of America basketball fans will remember the top eight teams in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference will qualify for the NBA playoffs. In a Western Conference matchup Tuesday night, the Denver Nuggets beat the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder 121-112. The AP's Randy Stahl reports from Denver, Colorado.
The Nuggets won their fifth game in a row and nine straight at home. Denver's Nikola Jokic was one rebound shy of a triple-double with 36 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. Thunder guard Russell Westbrook had a double-double with 22 points and 14 rebounds, but also had 8 turnovers. Denver is one game behind top seed Golden State in the Western Conference and 4 games ahead of third place Oklahoma City.
In one more NBA result Tuesday night, the New York Knicks defeated the visiting Orlando Magic 108-103. It was only the 13th win of the season for the Knicks. Only the Phoenix Suns, with 12 wins, have fewer wins this NBA season. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More NBA news. Former NBA All-Star guard Kenny Anderson has suffered a stroke. The 48-year-old Anderson recently completed his first season coaching the men's basketball team at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. The university issued a statement on Tuesday saying the university community extends its thoughts and prayers to Kenny Anderson and his family. Meanwhile, Anderson's wife, Natasha, also issued a statement saying her family is extremely grateful for all the love and prayers they've received over the last few days. But neither statement gave additional details. Kenny Anderson played for several NBA teams from 1991 to 2005. He was named an All-Star in 1994 while playing for the New Jersey Nets, who selected him out of Georgia Tech with the number 2 overall pick in the 1991 NBA draft. Basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is putting 4 of his NBA championship rings he earned in his career up for auction. Kareem is the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He says he'll be selling his championship rings from 1980, 1985, 1987, and 1988. All of those titles were earned while Kareem was a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Abdul-Jabbar also won a championship ring in 1982 with the Lakers and in 1971 with the Milwaukee Bucks. Kareem is also planning to auction off game-worn uniforms and jerseys. Abdul-Jabbar says much of the proceeds will benefit his Skyhook Foundation charity, which helps children learn about science, technology, engineering, and math. In addition to various items from his NBA playing days, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is also auctioning off his class ring from Power Memorial High School in New York City, a pair of his goggles, an ice bucket, a portrait of former U.S. President Abraham Lincoln, and various other awards from his past. And speaking of the past, it was one of my biggest sporting thrills to meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar last year at the Basketball Without Borders Africa Developmental Camp in Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Peter Cloete is on assignment in Nigeria, where he caught up with Amadou Kida Musa, president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation. Amadou was elected in June 2017, and he talked with Peter about fulfilling his basketball mandate.
We did promise to take basketball to the doorsteps of every Nigerian that could play basketball. What that meant was to grow the grassroots. It was to make sure that Nigeria was visible in terms of basketball. Everybody talks about football. Mm-hmm. I promised football I was going to give them a run for their money, and mm-hmm. I think we're doing that. Coming to the grassroots, for the first time in the history of Nigerian basketball, we have a sponsor, Total, that is sponsoring the Division II League. We just had our first season last year, and I'm pleased to say that out of the 36 states in Nigeria, only 3 did not participate. We had 2 teams coming from each state. A total, we had about 74, 75 teams that played at the state level to compete for the Division II Cup. That, for me, is key in the sense that every state that played saw clearly a reflection of themselves playing at the national scene, so all the way from what I would call the grassroots to the national scene. Our Division I, so you'd understand 2017, 2019, so we had only 2018 as a full season. We did play with the teams that we had that we inherited from the last board. So yes, we hope to improve their lot. So at least 4 to 6 teams that were in the Division II qualified to go for the Division I. We also did have a very short session in terms of the Premier League where we had two champions who went ahead to go to Zone 3 in Africa, where Nigeria belongs in terms of zoning in FIBA Africa. The Royal Hoopers and the defenders of civil defense in Abuja. These guys did wonderfully well. So they went there, came first and second also. So they have qualified for the African Afro League, the one that's taking off right now. So that's Nigeria. But what is important? So I cannot talk about within Nigeria and be isolated from outside of Nigeria.
Right.
So I would also start beating the chest of Nigerian basketball stakeholders very proudly to say that for the men's team, for instance, Nigeria was the first team in the world to qualify for the China World Cup. Nigeria, for the first time, also hosted 2 of those international, or I would rather say intercontinental events in Lagos. To the extent that we just actually finished the last window in Ivory Coast, where, again, we didn't do as well as we did in the other windows. But I'm still very mighty proud to say that Nigeria, after all that, came first in Africa, is ranked first in Africa, if you look at our performance in all the windows. For the women, it's been, nothing but pride for Africa. Our ladies won the AfroBasket. They won it very convincingly without losing or dropping any game. They went ahead to the World Cup that was played in Tenerife in Spain last year. Where, you know, our promise as a board was that Nigeria was going to shock the world.
Right.
And we did shock the world. For the first time in Africa, an African team would win a single match, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, but with Senegal also. Senegal just beat us by a few minutes because they were playing about the same time.
Right.
But their match finished just before us. Nigeria, though, again, setting the trail, went all the way to the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
So we beat highly ranked teams like Turkey, Argentina, that is the southern South America's champions,
mm-hmm.
and went all the way to the quarterfinals, where we met the United States that actually beat us. And overall, we were placed eighth in the world. This is a record that no African women's team has ever had.
How do you see Nigeria basketball, both men and women, let's say in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I really would want Nigeria to be I won't call it the first, but a second best destination for basketball in the world. There's a solid foundation to why I'm dreaming like that. My belief is if we continue giving our players the right environment, allowing them to just think about only playing basketball and taking care of everything that surrounds them playing the game for Nigeria, all of them will play. Nigerians are one of the most athletic people in the world. So I make no illusions to the fact that Nigerians are everywhere. Nigerian basketballers play in the NBA. I mean, I would start with Akeem, who was our demigod. He was a demigod in basketball. Still very, very recognized for his feats. And you know, so we go into that saying that look, the other players that we do have in the NBA. Are coming round to understand that Nigerian, the NBBF board now is serious in wanting Nigerians to play, is serious in setting the environment right in order for them to play and really play their best, and also serious enough in making them very, very proud of wearing the Nigerian jersey. Again, for me, my dream is that preferred destination of basketball. I hope to have a few professional leagues if I can. I know time is not as long, 4 years, 5 years, but truly I had given myself my first term to actually set the environment to make sure we administer the sport of basketball in the country in a way that would attract Americans to come and play in Nigeria.
Now, you talked about Nigerians qualifying to the World Cup in August in China. What do you think are the prospects of the team and what are your expectations?
Again, I will not tell you we're going to come first or third or fifth. We are going to shock the world again.
All right.
Okay. And my conviction is the same as I did as I had for the ladies' team. Our professional players, who in yesteryears had shied away from playing for their country, simply because the environment was not conducive for them to play, have awoken their interest in playing for Nigeria. So. Clearly, we're going to have a crop of players, I believe, that would match any country technically, that would match any country on the court in terms of playing prowess. And as such, I do think that if we continue as a board to give this well-deserved or well-desired environment that we want to create for them to play, they can only but do very well. So again, there, my own forecast is that we'll shock the world, and mark my words, we're for real.
That's Amadou Kida Musa, president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation, and he spoke with my VOA colleague Peter Kloti in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the February 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll examine the elections in Nigeria and Senegal. Nigerians are electing a president and a national assembly, and voters in Senegal are deciding who is going to be their next president. An in-depth discussion on the Nigerian and Senegalese elections.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
And to AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is Science in a Minute.
A bee species called the Megachile Pluto, or as it's also known, Wallace's giant bee, hasn't been seen by anyone in the science community since 1981. Some thought that the species may have gone extinct. A team of scientists say they found a female of the species in the Moluccas, a group of islands in Indonesia. Considered to be the world's largest bee, the Megachile Pluto has gigantic mandibles, a reported wingspan of more than 6 centimeters, and a body length that some say is about the size of a human thumb. The researchers say they found the giant bee living in a termite's tree nest about 2.5 meters off the ground. They say the female Wallace's bee lines her nest with tree resin she gathers with her huge jaws to protect it from invading termites. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.